Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Yes. Welcome to Religion Means Alive and my show, How to Improve, Repair, and Prepare for Marriages. We need to have that. Yes. Improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. Part 11. I am Nazim Rashid. Welcome to another day in paradise. Absolutely fantastic. I'm looking outside now. The clouds, even though they're full of rain, we need to have that. It purifies the air. It's fantastic. Wonderful. And green grass out here. Everything that we're appreciative of, because it didn't have to be like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So much to appreciate. So much out here. So as you regulars know, I sit in my chair here and all the noise in the background. Yes, I'm doing a long series on how we can improve these marriages so we don't have so many multiple marriages, divorces, and marry again, divorce, marry, divorce, marry, divorce. You need to stop that cycle. Stop the cycle. You know, if you are truly ready for marriage, don't do it. Don't do it. You just harm yourself and cause more damage, more emotional damage. Yes, to you and your mate. Don't do it. How you know you're ready? Well, that's why this show is on. This is part 11. Part 11. You can go on blogtalkradio.com/email. Alfred, scroll down to the past broadcast and hear the whole series. This is part 11. Based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, okay? How to be a mentor to your child. So yes, I said that right. And what it is, I'm training you to you know, go back in time through this book and work with that little self you once were. I call it my virtual process. It's all about using the power of your imagination. Going back in time. Wouldn't you like to do that? Aren't there a lot of things you would like to say to that self you once were? Huh? Yeah. Even now before you go through the personal growth training in the book. All right? But I'm going to take you through 14 steps. You know? Because we can't give what we don't have. If you're damaged now, you just damage yourself, your child's self, too, again. Like you already were. Okay? All right. Now, I'll give you the chapters in this book, which reflect the steps you have to take, the stages of development that are necessary for this task that we're talking about here. First is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Then is validation. Mm-hmm. Then you have self-esteem. Yes, we have problems. Visualization. Yeah, we've lost the idea of dreaming and imagining. Visualization. Self-image. The next one, the fifth one. Self-image. After that, we have communication and listening skills. Oh, man, so important for this, for marriage to work. You got to have communication and listening skills. Oof. Optimism after that. You got to have a positive view, a positive lens. Instead of having those negative, pessimistic lens. You know, when I go on Facebook, I see all this posting about racism, more police brutality, racism, violence. Violence, racism, over and over and over again. Your mind is completely filled with all this negativity. Huh? So when are you going to be nice? When is the nice posting come on? Yeah. You know, and so we always talk about what we don't want. How about talking about what we do want instead? You see? You want a happy marriage? You want a happy relationship? You want a happy life? Talk about happiness. Smile. Just post some of that. After that, what do we have? Gratitude. Very important. Then we have faith. Oh, yes. Got to have faith. Got to be able to connect to a reality that you do not see. You can't depend on your five senses for everything. No, if you do, you have guaranteed failure sometime along the way. Yeah. Then this spirituality. spirituality. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about now. That's the personal growth area that we're on now. Mm-hmm. Spirituality. Connecting to the 99 attributes of God. After that, we have attachments, codependency, and addictions. Again, attachments, codependency, and addictions. You know, before this series, I did a whole series on codependency and addictions. Yeah. Yeah, you all go back and hear that series, because it doesn't matter that you didn't do drugs. You know, it's so much in there. We're going to talk about it in this series, too, how it all relates. Yeah, so you can see that we got to do some recovery. Mm-hmm, absolutely. And a lot of this stuff suffering from PTSD anyway. So we're going to talk about later on that later on. After that is the 12 principles of recovery. Oh, yeah. So much of this. You know, this is why it's important to stay by yourself. Do some homework. You know, if you think about it, just think about it. If you want to become a lawyer or a doctor, you have to spend many years in school. Hmm? Intern work. At the library. Research papers. You got to be tested many times before you're allowed to practice on people. Why can't we have the same mentality when it comes to marriages? We have to be formally taught, because we were not mentored properly in our childhood. We didn't see, most of us, the loving parents. Father, healthy mother, healthy romantic relationship they had. We didn't recognize that. The healthy interaction with us. They're spending time individually with us, huh? Emotionally, making sure our spirit was okay. Connecting with us emotionally and spiritually. A lot of them didn't know how to even do that. So we didn't recognize that as a child. So therefore, we don't have that in our consciousness as we get older and start looking for mates of our own. We don't have that. So therefore, we have to learn formally. I say, look, beyond that, we got to learn how to become healthy human beings. Yes, human beings. We have to learn how to be that. We lost our humanity. Look at the news. We lost our humanity. Huh? We could rape, you know, 89-year-old women in elevator. We lost our humanity. Playing the knockout game and all that. And we lost our humanity. So we have to learn. That's what I'm doing here, you know, with this series and with this book. By the way, you can buy this book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and my site, which is after the three W's we have, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. One more time, cloudsofabundance.com. Yeah. So that way you can get the book and follow along with what I'm saying. And then you have a reference. We all need to have references close by for when we fall off the wagon, so to speak, when we slip off the path of our desire. We need to have something to go back to so we can say, you know what, I need some help in communication and listening skills. Let me get that book out. You know, I see now in my last interaction with my spouse here, I wasn't doing things correctly. So I need to learn a little more in this area. So we need to have this book closer to hand so we can refer to it when we need sharpening, you know, because we all get dull sometimes, all right? Like you have a pencil sharpener close by? Yeah. So it's important. Get it. If you have an e-book, you want it on e-book, like you have your Nook or a Kindle, you can get it that way on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, all right? So get it. It's important to get it, you know, for sure. All right, my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. And for those who have the book, I'd love to know what's clicking for you. Where are your aha moments? A lot of lives have been saved already with this book, and I thank God for that. Okay? Very important. Everybody got that? All right. All right, so spirituality, we left off there, okay? Now, I'll do a small recap. Spirituality says that even if you think you are limited and small, it simply is not true. You are greater and more powerful than you have ever imagined. A great divine light exists inside of you and in everyone you will ever know in the future. This light is evident more and more as we elevate our own spiritual consciousness. As our own light shines from within, we notice it more in others.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. You know? So this is a wonderful concept to pass on. In my household, just like your household, I'm sure, this concept of spirituality never existed. All we were told to do was to go to church every Sunday and put on our semi-formal attire, which I could not stand. People couldn't stand that. We were told to listen to the preacher and be quiet. That was about it for our spiritual practice. That was about it. You know? I've always been a very observant child, and I knew early on that the church experience that I was exposed to was more entertaining than anything else. Oh, yeah. Wish I could have brought some popcorn up in there. I saw nothing there that was to be taken seriously, and certainly nothing that suggested that a direct connection to God was something that we all need to have. No. That sort of thing was never discussed. You see, I really don't think my parents, or parents in general, at that time knew how to talk about spirituality separate from the church. That's why I did. I took comic books, yeah. I took comic books, stuffed in my dress shirt, and read them during the service on many occasions. You know, it was their organ playing with such great rhythm and percussion and drive. They got my attention. I said, man, what's going on over there? We had this piano on the left side. On the far right side, we had the organ. Yeah. And the exit door was closer to the piano, so most people were on that side. But on the other side, there weren't that many people. So, you know, I kind of slid on over that side. I watched that guy. Man, he was something else. I would sit by the organ player and enjoy myself as if he was playing just for me. The organ, yeah, was on the far right. Yeah. From the position, you know, from where I was right there, I could observe everything that was taking place. It was a great entertainment for me, you know, a kid like me, you know, at the time. I saw the very large preacher with his colorful suits rant on and on and on. He made sure that the plate was passed around a few different times. Said to myself, well, he's collecting again. I saw certain church members start shouting in a call and response format with the preacher. He would say a certain thing or motion in a certain way, and then some members would respond right on cue with a shout or a scream. Oh, yeah. With a company flailing of their arms or dancing around either in place or up and down the aisle or who knows what. It was a hit show. And I was thoroughly entertained. Now, as I got a little older, I discovered that most of the members took the whole experience very seriously. I felt sorry for them. I thought, don't they know this whole thing is only entertainment? Yeah, I was thinking that as a kid. They can't take this to heart. The preacher had everything in place to get the maximum returns. He had the driving, kicking music from the best musicians and an excellent rocking choir. Oh, yeah, they got down. He also had plants in the congregation who would, upon certain cues, start shouting and screaming, which would in turn get others to join in. It was an intentionally contagious process that I witnessed from across the church in my little spot next to the organ. I learned a lot from that early church experience about human nature and what drives people to do certain things. I learned how people can become manipulated through guilt and fear to give money in a way of atonement for their supposed wrongdoings. And who really benefits from this giving? I'm sure you can guess. Yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd kind of share a little bit right there. Talking about spirituality, how, you know, that was absent, actually. Yeah, from my experience and probably from yours too. And the whole idea is that spirituality is separate from the church, you know? And I don't care what religion you're in, and I don't mean to offend anybody, just my experience here, you know? But when we go to church, you go to the masjid, you go to the temple, you go to the ashram, you know? Go to the temple, you know? That isn't necessarily spirituality. It depends on what the talk is. It depends on what the topic is. Yeah. Yeah. Now, spirituality should be there, should be taught about. Your connection to God, personal connection. Sometimes it's just just to talk about the news and all that, or to scare you, drive more fear in you, you know? Or talk about what, you know, shouldn't be happening in the world. Gloom and doom, you know, and all that. Brimstone and hellfire. It should be spirituality, a personal should. You should leave there feeling warm and glowing. Say, man, I enjoyed that. I feel uplifted. I feel I can bless somebody else for the next week. I feel I'm so overcharged now, I can make someone else's day more complete just from what I heard in the service. That's the way it should be. You see? Yeah. So keep this in mind. You know, getting around to a whole topic of marriage here. If you have a mate that thinks like this to God and reflecting the 99 attributes as can be reflected, as I mentioned before in the last few weeks, see, you're more apt to find a fantastic mate and wonderful life partner. Yeah, life partner. Think of it like that. I call it prosperity partner, life partner. Yes, we're going to grow together. We're going to prosper together. We're going to have abundance and have enough to share with everybody. As a team, as a unit. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Well, this is what I'm trying to get over is if you aren't ready for this, if you aren't ready to reflect these attributes, if you got so much baggage in your past that you have not reconciled those issues yet, you haven't forgave those people yet or those events yet, don't get married. Wait until you reconcile those past events and you can reflect these attributes, you know, and really be beaming, be a light, you know, be happy, smile, laugh, have a good attitude. And you will attract that mate to you. You won't have to look for them. I'm speaking to the sisters too, absolutely, because a lot of them say, well, you know, there's so many sisters out here, very few brothers, most of them in jail or, you know, and locked down and killed off and, you know, not much of a choice. So what can the sister do? Got to share a brother, you see, with two of the other ones. There's not enough. See, there's no lack in the universe. There's no lack with God. There's no lack. There's no end. So you can't look at the stats of the world for your future. Allah can reward you and reward anybody with anything that they want. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the news. Believe in God. He's merciful and fully abundant to take care of all of your needs. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Now, the next area we're going to talk about, you know, attachments, addictions, and codependency. And this is so important because if you have the wrong kind of attachment, like I was talking about a little while ago with your past, you're attached to these past events. You're attached to a cultural tradition that does not align with a healthy marriage. Huh? You're going to bring that into the marriage and have guaranteed problems and guaranteed emotional abuse. And then what happens? Divorce. Divorce. So we have to talk about attachments here. That's what we're going to do next. You know? Got to talk about that. We've all heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together and the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Uh-huh. What we attach ourselves to, we share in its nature. Yeah, you're attached to those negative events, or say when you might have a negative self-image about women, or sisters about men, because your mothers didn't treat you well, your fathers didn't treat you well. So now you're you got this negative image toward the other gender. Yeah, that becomes your lens that you look through. You see? Yeah. We are products of our environment. We are. We are the only species that can become other than what our nature really is, and that is human being. See? Yeah, anything you attach yourself to becomes part, starts becoming part of your nature. Drugs. Oh, yeah. Got a problem with drugs still? You can't put that joint down? Still want to do cigarettes? Some people say, well, I can smoke. I don't see that in Scripture. When God says, do not let your own hands contribute to your destruction, what is that talking about? No, you can't know. Cigarettes do it too. No. What's that got to do with being married? Hey, look, if you got a serious addiction and your wife calls you or your husband calls you to do something, you're out of cigarettes, you're going to go to the store and get cigarettes first. Because that's first in your life, really God in your life. Yeah. So when you attach yourself to those things, they become you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about it. I remember a while back, a boy was discovered in the jungle living as a monkey. I'm going to just talk about what attachments do, you know. The monkeys raised him from a baby, and he took on the ways of the monkey society. He sounded like the monkeys. He walked like the monkeys. He became, in his mentality, a monkey. Well, it took a lot of reconditioning to bring the humanness back into that boy. And even then, he was influenced by his prior conditioning, which in his subconscious mind was considered normal. See? This story only reinforces the fact that we have to watch the influences around us and really decipher if these influences are what we want to internalize or not. Addictions and unhealthy attachments have to be addressed. You see? Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is why, you got to understand, it's the subconscious that drives you, that makes all the decisions. Your conscious doesn't. So consciously, you hear the talk from the preacher or the imam or your rabbi or guru or whatever, that we are to be nice, compassionate with our mates. Yes. Be nice and compassionate. Lower your wing and take them in and protect them, you know? Your garments for one another. You say, yes, this is what I should do. I'm going to do this. I'm doing it. Yes, I'm doing it. Yes. But your subconscious mind says, you know, she's a bee like your mother was a bee. You know? She ain't nothing. I ain't gonna respect her. Where did she do something wrong? Where did she look at me funny? Where did she doesn't serve my dinner like I want it served? What she? Just wait. I'll show her. She ain't nothing but a bee, huh? Yeah, I'll get her back in form. Yeah, that's going on in your subconscious mind, and that will be the one that will drive you. It's not the outer smiles. Yes, oh my love. Oh yes, oh yes. We're together. Oh, yes, I got you back. It's our subconscious. So we have to watch what we are really attached to. Yeah. Now, human beings are all prone to some type of addiction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With this term addiction, I'm not just referring to drug addictions. Addictions are, here's a definition. The compulsive and out-of-control use of any chemical substance, lifestyle, or behavior that produces recognizable and identifiable unpleasant withdrawal symptoms when the use of the drug or lifestyle is stopped. Okay? Some people have caffeine, nicotine, television, certain social groups, food, control over others, domination. Aha. Is that one of y'all's issues? Codependency in relationships. Is that another one? Jobs. Material achievements. Criminal behavior. Sex. Inflated egos. Brothers, okay. All right. Drugs, illegal, and prescriptions. All right. So since humans tend to depend on exterior motivations, it is no wonder why we have so many deadly attachments. What are you attached to? See, the first thing you look at is your childhood. See, those voices from the past still tell you what to do. They still tell you what standards to honor and which to just dispel. Yeah. We got to clean it up. We got to clean up the past, those attachments that you still have. You see? But back to the attachment. Now, we have this need to reach out and cling on for to not do so for the vast majority of us leads to a feeling of being inadequate, alone, unsafe, and not belonging anywhere. Now, this unmet need can lead to depression and various psychological disorders. Yeah. Instead of using consequential thinking, which is thinking in a methodical, logical manner, respecting the law of cause and effect, we allow subconsciously our emotions, unchecked by knowledge, to lead us to unhealthy attachments. Now, because of the inherent need to please and to connect, even a prostitute feels somewhat whole now that she has found a low-down pimp to manage her. Think about it. Because of the same inherent need to please, the nice, quiet, religious wife chooses a seemingly nice husband, not consciously acknowledging that he is an alcoholic and abuser. No. Just hoping the problem would go away. Consequential thinking will lead us to healthier attachments that not only will benefit us personally, but will benefit others to whom we are in contact. Yeah. We have to dream better, you know. We got to dream better. A lot of us, we're never taught to dream better for ourselves. We're taught to accept things as they were. What you physical eyes see, that's it for you, baby. That's it. You can't grow beyond what you see. So we grow up with that. That's an unhealthy attachment. We're attached to a belief system that's unhealthy. That still falls into the same category. Unhealthy attachments. Oh, yeah. So it's very important. All right. Now, there are two kinds. There are inherent addictions and acquired addictions. Hear that again. Inherent and acquired. Okay? Yeah, for sure. All right, I'll break it down. Inherent addictions are what we perceive or inherited from our parents. Sometimes we are predisposed to addictions, having that X factor. Y'all know about X factor? Unknown genetic disposition. It's in the blood there. For addictions, as the A book describes, this X factor was passed along through the bloodline. If we have this X factor, we have to really be cautious as to what kind of lifestyle and habits we're going to undertake. Now, if this X factor is for alcohol, it means that we are predisposed to alcohol addiction. A healthy parent, knowing this, will not have any alcohol as part of his or her lifestyle. There'll be zero tolerance for alcohol use, alcohol-related activities, environments, or alcoholic friends or associates. Yeah, I know a lot of y'all hear this. We must first investigate our family backgrounds and see what is this. I don't care what religious title you call yourself. You know, we got things, you know, floating around in our bloodstream. X factor. You need to know what's swimming in there, what's going on in there, and what are the inclinations for you. Okay? Yeah. There are questions that we need to ask, you know, find out for ourselves. If there is an addiction link in the family, we need to acknowledge that and that recognition, we shape our lives accordingly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that recognition, we shape our lives accordingly. Addictions are very serious and should not be taken lightly. Oh, no. So many lives are destroyed by not recognizing the deleterious nature of addictions. All right? Now, some of you might say, what's got to do with marriage? A lot, baby. A whole lot, brothers and sisters. Whole lot, my beloved audience. Whole lot. If you got addiction issues, do not get married. Don't do it. Take care of it first. Really. Take care of it first. You know? That's what turned me around. I had withdrawal symptoms. I was doing drugs. I was selling them too. My supply went dry and I was getting, you know, getting the shakes. I did not hesitate. I got right into a 12-step program. I started looking at how I can detox. Because in my case, as a child, I was micromanaged by my mother. You know, there's no room for self-expression. And so I was kind of, you know, emotionally starved and not validated. I was suicidal. I even tried it in my adolescence. So my life was totally controlled. Even going to the barbershop, you know, that she would get a chair and make sure it was cut according to her desires. She, you know, all the clothes were picked out. I couldn't even choose my clothes, nothing. As a little child there. And so I had no voice. So I wanted to check out. I was looking at different ways I could commit suicide and get out of here. So my life was controlled. And so when I was going through the withdrawal symptoms, I said, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute right now. I am addicted? Me? No, no, not me. I'm the kid. No, 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 no. I'm a control. I have some money in my pocket, women too, and hey, not me. But man, when I started feeling that, I knew that the drug had a grip on me. I said, what? So I immediately flashed back to my childhood, and I said to myself, I will never be controlled by anything or anybody evermore, no more. So I didn't hesitate. I was so self-motivated. I went through the whole Tulsa process by myself. I was so motivated. I was fired up. That was my chief priority. I started reading health books. And I used the Master Cleanser. You know, y'all heard about the Master Cleanser? Yeah, lemonade and cayenne pepper and gravy maple syrup. Look it up. Master Cleanser, Dr. Burroughs. Man, I did that. Boy, I'm telling you. For 7 days, and I was shaking and sweating and everything else. You know, mucus coming out. Thought I was, you know, like kind of like flu symptoms. But let me tell you, after 7 days, I had no desire to smoke again. None. No physical desire. Now, 12 steps took care of the emotional part. You know, but the physical part I did that way. Oh, yeah. Then I became Muslim. So, yeah. So now I can take my Shahada. I can name my declaration and come into the life called Al-Islam and have a transformed life. So, I'm telling you, if I brought that addiction to a marriage, boy, you know, it'll be unhealthy. Because my priority is not the marriage. The priority is to the addiction. I'm telling you, if you have unhealthy attachment, your priority is to the voices in the background telling you what to do and not to do, and not to your marriage, not to your wife, not to your husband. So you're doing a disservice to the marriage coming into that with an addiction or some kind of unhealthy attachment. Don't do it. Stay single. Work on yourself. Clean yourself up. Yeah. Then come in there, okay? Now, I was talking about inherent addictions. Inherent addictions. Now, we've got acquired addictions. Again, acquired addictions. Now, there are addictions that we attain from our environment. Somebody offers you crack cocaine. Try it once, and because of the tremendous pull on your system, you may become addicted immediately. Now your body and your mind, your spirit are all focused on what? Your next hit. Don't think I'm telling the truth? Well, we got an example. There was an NBA basketball player named Len Bias. Look it up. That smoked crack cocaine one time. and died from that experience. Yes, right, one time and died. His heart could not take that kind of surge. See, the doctor had you on strong pain medications because of an injury. Medication is barely taking the pain away, and you are suffering. I'm telling you, you're suffering, you're in pain. Somebody offers you an alternative to your medication, heroin. You say to yourself, I'm not taking that. It's not legal, and it is addicting. But you know what? That pain is talking to you, baby. That pain is pressing you. It's pressing you. That pain is like a vice grip on your brain. The voice of that pain is now louder than your reasonable mind, and you take what? The heroin. The heroin works, and the pain subsides. Now, you feel guilty for what you have just done, but the only thing you're thinking about is that the pain is now under control. You are now addicted. Your body cannot be at peace without that fix. That happens to people all the time. And a great musician, saxophone player, Charlie Parker, oh yeah, the bird, had that happen to him. Unfortunately, because he was so far ahead of everybody else of his era musically, others start using heroin too, just to be like the bird, as he was called. He started a whole epidemic of musicians using heroin, and he really felt bad about that. All right. The addiction process gets compounded when someone has the X factor for addiction and they get associated with that particular drug-oriented group. Yeah. Here we have the weakness and the opportunity staring at them for the death process to start. I'm telling you something. Yeah. This is why it's so important. Marriage is so important. One of most, if not the most important decision you're going to make, really, in your life, really. Talking about a life mate. A life mate. A life partner. Think about that. You know, if you're 25 years old, you're saying, I want to be with this person until I'm 99 plus years old. I want to grow and evolve and build something with this person. Produce something for the next generation to come. Yes. This person is my right hand. Yeah, right there to help out and build this, you know, build this productive unit. Wherever it's going to be, a foundation, whatever it's going to be. Leaving a legacy for the next generations to come. Yeah. It's very important. So therefore, we need to study. Clean up. Clean ourselves up. You know? All right. Now, as I opened up, you know, with this talk here, human beings are prone to some kind of addiction or attachments. Let me paint the picture for you. The engaging of the sperm and the egg is an attaching process. The semen is very, very sticky. See, we're all born through the process of attaching. It is through attaching that we are formed into living, breathing human beings. That attaching process continues as we are attached to our mothers through the umbilical cord. Now, after that cord is severed, our attachment to our mothers continues as she is, in our minds, God. Yeah. It is a natural process to look at our origins for our strength, guidance, direction, and what our accepted standards are going to be. Hear that. Please hear that. The healthy mother, knowing this, will give the best that she has, keeping the attributes of God in mind. Automatically, she will be the source of compassion, love, empathy, provision, and protection. Her intention is to pass on God's qualities and characteristics to the infant. Yeah. She does this by first demonstrating the characteristics and second, informing the child where these characteristics originate. key. Oof. This is an example of healthy attachments and how the great majority of us on this earth. Now, if we have in our mind to only attach our true selves to God, we can then have a good standard of our earthly associations. You hear that? Yeah. Now, I'm telling you, this is so important. I keep relating this to marriage because, you know, it's all related. I'm sure you see that, you know. Probably don't need to keep saying this, but some might say, well, what's it got to do to the talk of, you know, marriages and all that, you know? It's very key. If you don't have the healthy attachments, you're not going to have a healthy marriage. I'll say it again. If you don't have healthy attachments in your consciousness, I'm talking about your subconscious, you're not going to have a healthy marriage. Not at all. So that's why I'm talking about this, and that's why I always also talk about our childhood experience, because it all starts there, you know. It all starts there. And through my book, my reconnected book, I talk about how we can redo some of those childhood experiences to produce positive results instead of negative ones. You might think that's impossible, because how can you change the past? We can change the feelings we had in the past, and that's all that's important. You can change those feelings. Yeah, that's what my book Reconnected does. Okay, absolutely. All right, now let's look at the relationship of mother and child. After the child is separated physically from the mother, there still exists a very strong attachment. As the child develops, the healthy mother guides and instructs the child to start operating on their own. The mother is giving the child responsibilities, such as communicating clearly and later cleaning after themselves. Mm-hmm. The child is learning step by step how to be independent of the mother, to start thinking for themselves, and later accepting to be the co-creator of their lives. I hope you heard that. The healthy mother doesn't stop this process. No. On the contrary, she wants to promote this process of independence. The mother is only temporarily there to guide, model correct behavior, establish high standards of excellence, empower the child, encourage spiritual development, promote independence. Man, boy, this really touches me. I know it touches you too. Now, during this process, mother's reflecting God's characteristics and instilling them into the child. Now, this is a healthy attachment of the mother to the child. I tell you, I'm going to read a poem by Khalil Gibran from his book, The Prophet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that book. For those mothers who insist that the child belongs solely to them and attach themselves in unhealthy, codependent ways that stifle the child's ability to stand up on their own. Okay? Here we go. On Children, here it is, by Khalil Gibran. Your children are not your children. They are sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for the souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children are living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves the bow that is stable. Isn't it something? Claude Gibran. I love the book. All right. Unfortunately, what we see repeated on television and in our communities are the results of unhealthy attachments, which many times start with unhealthy attachments at home. Oh, yes. You know, I've had many instances as a teacher, you know, where the parent was obviously responsible for the child's behavior and defending their misbehavior, you know. Oh, yeah, all teachers can, you know, I'm sure if you're a teacher, you can bear witness to what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right. Again, this is, we're talking about marriages here. This is very key. If you want to have the best mate, they have to have only healthy attachment. Now, most of us, you know, why read this, most of us, you know, you, or you might say, well, look, you know, I didn't have that. I don't know anybody that had that in their life, you know. Are you saying that if I didn't have that as a child, I will not have a good marriage? I'm saying if you had that as a child, clean up the feelings. Recreate your scenarios in the past, you see, so that you only have healthy attachments in your life. Healthy attachments. All right? Yes, you can do that. So your mother was not one to give you the healthy attachment? All right? You could find somebody else and imagine them to be your mother. I did that. Yeah, look at our pioneers. You know, look, they've been married 40, 50 years. And the sisters, you know, she's just, you know, just a source of compassion. She's so attentive to her husband, and she just, man, you love being around her. In your mind, make her your mother. Yeah, recreate the scenarios. That's what my book teaches you anyway. Get the book. Recreate the scenarios so you have healthy attachments, right, in your past, because you create them. You can create, look, God gave you the ability to create anything you want to create. So you didn't have a good past in your childhood? Well, recreate it. Make it good. Yeah. But do not go into a marriage situation holding on to unhealthy attachments. You're only guaranteeing the downfall of that marriage. Absolutely. All right. Yeah, I see a lot of people are calling in right now. So in case you want to be a part of this discussion, just hit number one on your telephone and I'll see you and bring you on the air. Okay? I always like to have questions and comments about this because, you know, we're doing all this together. All right? Very important. So that's why when I talk about childhood, is all that. You know, don't take it in there. So don't take unhealthy attachments into the marriage. Don't do it. No. You know, stay by yourself and work on yourself first. You know, now codependency, we've got to talk about that. Codependency is another form of unhealthy attachments. The original concept of codependency was developed to acknowledge the responses and behaviors people develop from living with an alcoholic or substance abuser. However, over the years, codependency has expanded into a definition which describes a dysfunctional pattern of living and problem solving developed during childhood by family rules. Ah, those family rules creates those standards that you hold on to that do not contribute to a healthy marriage. Yeah. Remember, if those rules don't work for you, get rid of them. You're in charge. You set up your own rules. Yeah. Yeah. Now, another definition of codependency is, quote, a set of maladaptive, compulsive behaviors learned by family members in order to survive in a family which is experiencing great emotional pain and stress, unquote. If a person is maladaptive, they are displaying an inability to develop behaviors which get their needs met. See, you hear that? Your needs aren't met, so you develop some behaviors in order to get them met. Like, so you might you know, you might get in trouble, you know, intentionally to get that attention because you didn't get the right kind of attention from your parents. So you got in trouble intentionally to get attention. Yeah. So this, you know, is all part of cleaning ourselves up, you know. Codependents are dependent on someone else's problems. Hence the name co-CO dependent, as in co-CO operating or co-CO connected. Codependents have that tendency to get involved in relationships with people who are unreliable, emotionally unavailable, and needy. Y'all heard that? That's really something. If the man is an alcoholic, he needs someone who is going to support him in his alcoholism. If he can't stand up, he needs someone there to hold him up or cover up his faults. He or she, in this case I'm saying she. She, being the codependent or enabler, needs to have someone who is going to protect her, give her the image, remember, the image of a strong husband. This so-called good husband is providing and maintaining the household and is not going to expect her to be strong within and independent. You see, he will also tell her that he loves her occasionally. Oh, yeah, he'll do that. I love you, baby. Her self-esteem and self-image are very, very low. So, she pretends to feel good in his made-up image of a marriage. And isn't that, boy, woof, isn't that true? Today, you're in a marriage, you're a made-up image of a marriage. That's what a lot of people do today when they get married. Concentrate on a wedding, you know, and, you know, I know I'm talking to other people, and Muslims have a very, very simple marriage ceremony. But think about it. You know, on so many shows, bridezillas, four weddings or four dresses or whatever. I mean, concentrate on the dress and this and the bridesmaids and all that. Spend thousands of dollars on what? One day of a celebration. And no skills on how to keep marriage together. They have a made-up image of a marriage. And then when the other person doesn't live up to the made-up image they have, they get mad at that person for not matching their image that they never shared. Yeah. That's it. Made-up image is a Yusuf. And the brother's acting like, Jose. He say, I'm mad at you for not being Yusuf. How come you can't be Yusuf? You're supposed to be Yusuf. You're supposed to be Yusuf. That's what happens. See? That projection is her personal esteem that she is internalizing. Now, she doesn't know how to get her real needs met, so she lives a life of pretense with a man who also has self-esteem issues. Together, they're happy, or so it seems. A lot of people like that. Walk around, you know, they've been married a long time, but they have a real mess. Real mess of a marriage. Don't ask him to lead a life of sobriety, moral behavior, healthy thinking and living. And don't ask her to develop her own self-esteem and self-image, honor her own spirit within, honor her own spirituality and independence. If they did that, then they would have to really look at themselves, and they can't do that. Oh, no. That would take a great deal of work and acceptance of their higher self. Oof, forget that part. Denial is more convenient. They love denial as their best friend. That's their buddy. After all, it is what they are used to doing. It is an acceptable pattern of behavior. This pattern was probably learned from the parents. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Unhealthy attachments. Wounded children come from wounded parents. Yeah. This is so important. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, my beloved audience, so important. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, whatever the parents exhibit becomes acceptable in the child's mind. Maybe drug use. Abuse doesn't mean just, you know, the husband or wife smacking the person upside the head. No, it could be subtle, emotional abuse. Yeah, put downs and all that. Profanity. You know, can't even use English language. They use all the worst words in the book, you know, to talk to one another. Disrespect of self and others. General disobedience. Smoking, drinking. Lacking of family values. Non-supportive behaviors, and of course, codependency. Okay? On one level, the child would not like certain negative behaviors such as fighting and other forms of abuse. But on a subconscious level, the mind is recording what is acceptable and is stored for future use. Yeah. So, sister, if you got a brother like that, if you investigate the family and find out that this is going on in his family, do not marry him. Now, if he works on himself and cleans himself up, okay, then you can consider that. You know, even then, when you transform, you become a different person. So, sister, if you saw a person, or you're with a person, or you know a person like this, and you kind of like to, you have a good heart, and you think there might be a good marriage material, and go through a process of detoxing and so forth, and counseling and all that, they become another person. Now, the new person might not align with you anymore, might not vibrate with you. You might think so. When you transform, I'm telling you, your desires change, your tastes change, your dreams change. Huh? Would you want our life changes? You want a different environment? So they might even like you. They might, you know, you might still like them, but they might not like you when they become transformed. So just prepare yourself for that. Now, if that happens, bless them. Thank God that you're a part of the process and you encourage them and they got to clean themselves up and bless them on their own path to their own success and happiness. Bless them. Move on and attract somebody else to be your mate. It's okay. It's all mashallah. It's all what God wants anyway. Yeah. So with this kind of mindset, you know, codependency, we learn to be judgmental of others because that is easier than looking at our own internal deficits. Being right was very important for us in the way that we found worth. This is what counselors pose the question to courting couples. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Again, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, very important, you see? And, that's very important, very important. We look at disagreements in a marriage, you see, and say the husband or the wife, you say the wife, you know, knows that the husband is not acting rationally and so forth, and maybe they kind of caught up in the emotions right now, and she decides to just, say, baby, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. You know? And in her mind, she knows that, you know, logically, she's completely correct and he's completely incorrect. But he can't see it right now. So she does the right thing, you know. She wants to be happy, not, I got to be right. It's my way. Logically, I can prove my way is right and your way is wrong. And I'm right and you're wrong. And you're a wrong person, I'm a right person. There you go. You know. She wants to be happy. So she takes the happy path. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do you remember those old bullies who were so sensitive that they felt bothered, angry, or even threatened by someone looking strangely at them or giving them the evil eye? They, the innocent victim, might have demonstrated a so-called distasteful body language toward them. See, this is a clear sign of a type of codependency problem. They feel that either they, the supposed threatening one, are right, and they are losers, which confirms what their parents have repeatedly told them anyway. Or they are wrong in each case, justifies an attack, prove they are right. Now, for the classic codependents, they seem to have a radar set up to draw in just the ones who will push their buttons, the ones who will be the worst possible mates, the ones who will be unavailable, unloving, abusive, and ones to bring out the worst in them. As long as you are reacting unconsciously to the past, and you are, and you pick these negative people as your mates, then you will blame and argue about who is right and who is wrong. Isn't that right? Oof, I'm sorry. Good information here, y'all. We become codependent through living in families with rules that hinder development to some degree. Oh, yeah. The family system has been developed in response to problems such as alcoholism, mental illness, controlling or domineering, yes, father and mother, yep, absentee parents, and violence. That's why you see so much violence on the Facebook. You go on Facebook, everybody got racism and violence, police brutality, race. What is that going to do? We already know that exists. They don't post what they want, always post what they don't want, all the bad things happening in the world. Yeah, for sure. Well, there are certain rules that are implied and accepted, even though no one actually sat the family down and issued out written out rules of engagement. Yeah, family rules. Remember, whatever the parents establish by their consistent behavior becomes the accepted family norm. Hear that, please. Yeah. And one of Robert Burney's, good author and expert in the field, in one of his articles on codependency, he has listed family rules that may and most probably cause codependency. Yeah. Here they are. One, it's not okay to talk about problems. Well, two, feelings should not be expressed openly. Keep feelings to yourself. Three, communications are best if indirect. One person acts as a messenger between two others. Indirect. Four, be strong. Men don't cry. Fifth, be good, right, and perfect. Better be. Six, make us proud beyond realistic expectations. Do as I say, not as I do. Oof, I remember that one. Eight, it's not okay to play or be playful. Nine, don't rock the boat. Don't make any waves around here. Support what we are establishing as family rules. Absolutely. I'm going to add a few more to that. Children are to be seen and not heard. Now, gender expectations. Girls are to be cute and quiet. And boys are to be strong, controlling, not to express emotions. You know something? Now, I know y'all can bear witness to this. You've heard this before in your lives. You know you have. Now, as a result of accepting these rules, children develop harmful behavior and characteristics. They also have diminished problem-solving skills and immature reactions to situations in adult life. Now, as they mature into adolescence and adulthood, their view of the world and relationships are all influenced by the subconscious and sometimes conscious acceptance of codependency. Yeah. When the boys witness their dad abusing and berating their mother on a regular basis, they grow up thinking that this is what men are supposed to do with their girlfriends and wives. When girls grow up with codependent mothers who can't stand up for themselves and allows the husband to play the domineering role, disrespecting her authority in the house and he and her as a person, she attracts men into her life who will fill the role of being a domineering brute. because that is what she knows. She has been conditioned to accept this behavior as normal. When fear is a dominant theme in a household, everyone in that household has fear as a dominant emotion and acts from the emotion in one form or another. Isn't that, oh man, so true. You know, you look at the various religious communities, you see it acting out. Fear, domination, cult-like behavior. Like what's going on with this Islamic State, you know. Wow, you know, cult-like behavior. And people just get drawn into that because of their own damaged souls, damaged past, damaged childhood, or family rules that did not contribute to a healthy, productive life. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's you know, looking at the Muslims, you know, who demanded their wives dress in a certain kind of way and be subservient to them. You know, tell them how to dress, tell them what color to put on every day, and micromanage every part of their lives like they're a little puppy or something. Yeah. Instead of encouraging them to be strong, independent thinking women. You know, so this is why it's so important to understand this is marriage. You want a healthy, happy, joyous marriage, huh? That means you got to have a healthy and independent thinking mind, healthy mind. You want the best for your wife. You want the best for your husband. Yeah, you know, and encourage them to see what passion God has created in them. What kind of gift from God exists within them, and help them to nurture that gift, so that can be a productive unit for the world. Yeah, support them in that. Support them in their dreams. Yeah. Like I said, call them your prosperity partner, your life mate. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Brothers, you know, you only have one heart. So give that heart to your wife. Sister, give that one heart to your husband. Become that joined soul, that synergistic unit. It cannot be broken. You see? Yeah, that's so very important to understand that. You know, we have to understand. These are tools I'm giving you. I'm talking about addictions and codependency. Well, this is what I'm talking about here, you know. So you have to understand that, again, if you have these issues, do not get married until you solve these issues. You know, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, you know. And go to the health store and read some health books and really get healthy. Get healthy physically. Do some detoxing. You know, feel good. Feel good. Yeah, detox and feel wonderful. Play. You know, go to the beach and just run around. Chase squirrels. Do something fun. You see? Yeah, when I saw a video by with a young brother, Pharrell Williams, called Happy. Oh, man, go to YouTube and download that. Put Happy and put Pharrell Williams on there. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Happy. You know, he has people from all over the world dancing and singing to his song called Happy. You know, and that's what made it so popular. Millions of people have downloaded that and connected with that young brother. Now, he's doing well financially from spreading that kind of joy, Happy. He's dancing and singing, and everybody's dancing and singing. And got, you know, your little cute little, you know, sisters there, the girls are dancing and throwing around. Exhibiting joy. Well, that's how you should be with your mate. Exhibiting joy and happiness. Holding hands and having date night weeks every week. And enjoying yourself, you know. Enjoying being with one another. Enjoying seeing. When you see your mate, you should start glowing. Automatically. You see? Yeah, and be that one unit. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And when you're doing that, I'm telling you, things start opening up for you. They will. So this is why it's important, you know, to always have health in mind, health as your standard, and you know, and when you do things or you make this to something that's outside the health realm, explain to them. Say, excuse me, sis, excuse me, dear. You know, is what you're doing matching the healthy standard that we both agree that we would do, or is it a little out of the order? You know, always go back to the healthy standard. Is the way you're talking right now, is that aligned with the way we're supposed to talk to one another in a healthy way? Yeah. You create your own house rules of health. Absolutely. You know? Is what you're doing right now, is that in line with how we're supposed to act in a healthy way? Yeah. Now, the common thread in all the codependency, you know, cases I talked about before is the presence of low self-esteem and low self-worth. Yeah, for sure. Since the family standards were all low, the only choice that the children and the families had was to internalize and accept low as being normal. This is what happens. See, you have your standards being low. That's normal to you. You don't even know what high standard is because you never saw it, never experienced it. See, this brings to mind a couple of previously mentioned sayings. We are all products of our environment. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah. We have heard these quotes, and unfortunately, they are quite true. Yeah. This is a very important point. We have to realize that it is not our fault that our relationships have not worked out. You heard what I said. We were set up to fail in relationships by the unhealthy environment and attachments that we grew up in, by the dysfunctional and dishonest definitions and role modeling that we experienced. Yeah. Now, this is a very, very, very difficult pill to swallow for codependents, for they feel they are defined by how others think of them and of being people pleasers and martyrs. For the classic codependent, their self-esteem lies entirely on and in the other person. Oh, boy. What's the truth? It causes them to forget about getting their needs met and to not be aware that it is right to have needs. Yeah. The process of owning self is frustrating and confusing. The concept of having boundaries is foreign. Yeah. See, another got to talk about. The fear of abandonment. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, the fear of abandonment. You don't want to be by yourself. You feel nervous being by yourself. Ask yourself, are you okay being in the room by yourself? Are you okay just with no music, nothing, just being in a room with just you in it? How does that feel? Just you. You and you. That's it. How do you feel? Yeah, think about it. You know, all this goes right back to childhood. The fear of abandonment is another common thread that is dominant in the classic codependent and counterdependence mindset. We didn't talk too much about that, but get the book. You know? Yeah. The counterdependent experienced a level of abandonment as a child and as a survival technique of theirs. They chose to shut people out so they can't abandon him again. That's counter-codependent. To shut people out so they can't abandon him again. All right? Does that ring a bell with you? The codependent experienced abandonment, so they choose to cling unto their relationship partners with their enabling ways so they won't be hurt again. But both of these are dysfunctional and dishonest. Yeah. See, we in our codependents have radar systems which cause us to be attached to and attract to us the people who for us personally are exactly the most untrustworthy or unavailable or smothering or abusive or whatever we need to repeat our patterns, individuals, exactly the ones who will push our buttons. We attract those people to us and wonder why Why are they acting like that too? Why are they treating us like that? Why am I always getting into relationships like that? Why are we doing it? You know, remind me when I was teaching, one time I had the experience of this young sister who was my assigned as an assistant for me. You know, you're a cute thing, you know, and it was a school for pregnant and parenting teens I was teaching in. And after school, I kind of talked to her. I said, "Well, sis, how you doing? You know, how's your situation? I'm always trying to help people out." She said she's a child. She was about 21 at the time. She had a child, you know, no husband, no boyfriend. And I said, "Well, what do you want to have happen in your life?" She said that, you know, I'm so tired of always mean these thugs, you know. Every time I look around, there's more thugs. And then, what kind of daddy was your, you know, baby's father, you know? He was a thug, too. I don't know how I got with him, you know. Thug, just talking about thug life and stealing and robbing and drug life and just, you know, not treating me right and all that. And I'm tired of these thugs. I said, "Well, okay." Now, she looked like she was very intelligent. I said, "Well, where do you go? I mean, like, what do you do? What kind of environment do you have?" "Well, I like to go down to the club so-and-so." I said, "Okay, what kind of boys or men are over there? Thugs?" I said, "Oh," I said, wait, "red light. So you're telling me that you like to go to this club and there are just thugs in there and your baby's daddy was a thug and you're tired of thugs and you want to have somebody clean and wonderful in your life as a possible husband, but you're in an environment that has only thugs in there. So it's like fishing in a dirty pond, wondering why your fish, when you catch them, are poisoned and complaining about it." You see? So it was something in this child's background that gave her the okay to have people like that in your life. So she unconsciously did it all the time, but complained about it. You see, so I said, "Sis, you have to change your environment. First of all, you got to change the voices inside of you that tell you that thugs are okay." You know, she said, "I don't like thugs." I said, "I know consciously you don't, but unconsciously you're attracting them. So you got to clean that up." Yeah. It's very important. So I'm telling you, you know, for all you looking for a right kind of mate in your life, all right, listen to what I'm saying. All this is very, very relevant to the topic of improving, repairing, and preparing for the relationships, okay, for marriages. So it's very relevant, very relevant. See, if children don't live with healthy family models, they would never internalize healthy family ideals. You get this? Man, we all manifest what we have been exposed to in our immediate environment. Whatever is experienced in the household is considered normal on one level or another. Or we take the other end of the spectrum and dot the counter-dependent personality and shut out everybody. Now, we don't always accept misbehavior consciously, but on the subconscious level, there is an area of acceptability. Mm-hmm. We all also tend to consciously or subconsciously want to correct the wrongs we experience. Oh, yeah. But in going this route, we are concentrating on so much on what we don't want that we forget to focus on what we do want for ourselves. And as the law of attraction dictates, again, we draw unto ourselves that which we habitually allow to dominate our consciousness. Yeah. Whew, I'm telling you so much in this. I'm going to stop right there. It's so much here. I'm telling you so much. This is why I encourage you. Please do two things. Go back, hear this part 11 again, and hear the other parts. It is, again, after the three W's, blog, talk, radio, .com/email Alfred. and slide down. Do you see this series? My picture's there. Improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. It might say relationships, too. I couldn't fit all that in there on the line. So, you know, it might say marriages, it might say relationships. And this is part 11. Here are the other parts, okay? Now, get the book, please, get the book. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my site, cloudsofabundance.com. You can connect with me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nr, like Nazim Rashid, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Now, if you go to my site, Clouds of Abundance, I will autograph it and mail it personally to you. All right? For sure. Yeah. Do that. If you have an ebook, if you have a Kindle or Nook, you can get it, the ebook format through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So if you're out of the state, of course, you got to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And I tell, you know, people like Indonesia, I've taught the people there, go to your local bookstore and they can order it because I'm on the catalog. They can order from any part of the country, order that way. So get the book, please. We need to have references and manual for our existence, all right? Reconnect is a book that can help you transform those negative experiences into positive memories. Loving yourself at deep levels and creating the life you've always desired. A lot of us don't like ourselves, you see? Yeah, and so the process of mentoring the self you once were is very powerful, very powerful. Just try this. Get a picture of yourself when you're a child. 8, 9, or 7, 8, maybe 5, little tiny innocent pictures, where you're looking right into the camera, hopefully a close-up. Send love, stare at those little eyes, and send love into those little eyes. Just do that right there. See what happens. You might get a chill. You might cry. I did it, and I teared up, you know. And you want to be there for that little one. That's what I'm talking about here. You know, when I say mentoring your child self, you want to be there for that little one. So just do that. Right, and you get a sense of what I'm talking about. Then go to Clouds of Abundance. Get it right there, and I'll personally mail it to you, and I'll grab it to you. We need to have references. We need to stop all these unhealthy marriages out here. You know, have healthy. You know, have a, where you can see yourself walking down the street or just holding hands and going to the movies and doing things together, and people see you and say, man, that's an obviously loving couple. Look at them. They have that glow about them. You can smile when you look at one another's eyes and be happy and be joyous. Have fun. And do things together and knowing that you're garments for one another. You're garments for one another. She's got your back, you got her back. Because, you know, sometime or other, you're going to fall down. And she's there or he's there to pick you up. You know they're going to do it. Got to go to the hospital, got to have something done. She's right there. When you wake up with your eyes to the first person you see, you know? You know, things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. You know, you need somebody to drive because you're on medication and you can't drive. She'll drive you or he'll drive you. You see? Yeah, going to the doctor, doing things and so forth and being there. You know, knowing that, man, this person is, man, my other half, my life mate, my prosperity partner. Oof. We can plan together. We can look at what we're going to do 20, 30, 40 years from now. Do it in love. Committed love here. Yes, connect yourself to God. You know something? Be that way. Yeah. All right, I'm going to sign off. So next week we'll have part 12. Yeah. We'll keep going. We'll keep going with this thing. Yeah, next week, part 12. And we're going to continue with our codependency, attachments, and addictions subtitle here as it relates to the best marriages possible. You know? Yeah, have the best. Don't sell. Sisters, don't sell for, you know, this brother's okay, I guess I'll marry him. No. Don't do it. If he's not the best for you, don't do it. Brother, same way. If she's not the best for you, don't do it. Be by yourself. Be healthy by yourself first. Yes. Yes. Then when you're strong and you reconcile those old issues from the past and you've gone through a detox and you've got to transform life, you got something to give, then do it. And then you attract a healthy mate. Again, healthy mate for yourself. Not one is codependent. Healthy mate for yourself. Okay, with that in mind, I'm going to close the show out. Yeah, I've talked a lot here. All right? So, have a fantastic week. Enjoy the benefits God has for you. Have fun. Laugh and smile. Laugh today. Have fun. God loves you. I love you. Love yourself. And love what God has in store for you, the best mate possible. With that, I close the show with greetings of peace that only God can give. Be with you. Assalamu alaikum.